Hey everyone, Chris Duncan here, lead pastor at Crossroads Church here in Kokomo, Indiana. It is a pleasure to be with you today, and I'm grateful that you tuned in as we began this series called Not Normal. And the reason behind this series had everything to do with the reality that so many of us are living in today. If you're like me, you find yourself using the phrase, when things get back to normal. And even though I know deep down inside that they're not, there is something in me that wants them to be normal. Webster defines normal in this way: conforming to a type, a standard, or a regular pattern. And if you're like me and you continue to use the phrase, when things get back to normal, then you might look like this before they get back to normal. I found this meme this past week and I thought, man, how many of us are just waiting around hoping that maybe next week we'll get back to where we were. Maybe the week after that we'll get back to where we were. But anybody who's a senior in high school can tell you that we're not getting back to normal. As they grieve through the loss of saying not having a senior prom and not having graduation. If anyone who is laid off or has lost a job or been furloughed can tell you, things aren't going to be normal anytime soon. Anyone who has had somebody in the hospital who has been in the hospital, whether they've had the coronavirus or just been in the hospital for the sake of a sickness, it's not normal that you don't get to see your loved ones. You don't get to be around them. And so while you and I may use the phrase, when things get back to normal, this is maybe when things get back to normal for us. Because I want to ask a big question, and the question is simply this: what is normal? You ever thought about that? I think normal is a term that we have a tendency to use a lot. It's a term that we look at from a lot of different perspectives. For me, when I say something is normal, I've noticed that it's relative to my situation. That what I think is normal and what you think is normal may be two different things. And for most of us, our standard seems to be what we gauge as normal, not necessarily what somebody else gauges as normal. Normal is also relative to our culture. That if you're of a certain ethnicity, what's normal to you may be different for another ethnicity. Normal is also relative to age. That when you look around and you see individuals who are approximately the same age as you, they may define something as normal that a different generation at a different time may define. And so this understanding or idea is normal. And the problem from so many of us today is that we know that things are not normal. What does the Bible have to say about this term, normal? Well, Paul would write a verse in Romans chapter 12, the second verse, and I want to spend some time today focusing on this because it is going to turn upside down this understanding of what normal is for so many of us. Because the term that we regard as normal, the term that we see as normal, is possibly not a term that we should be using. Listen to what Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. Changing from normal to a new reality is the idea of helping every one of us. And I want to ask you the question today, how do I do this? How is it that I go to changing from what I think everything is normal to a new reality? How can I do those kind of things? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, change is so hard. Somebody may be saying, I changed once years ago and I'm not going to change again. You're asking somebody to change and I don't want to change. For others of us, I like the things I like and the way I like them. And you're now telling me that I have to change? Well, the Bible is filled with this understanding and this idea of what transformation or change looks like. And I want to give us just three quick things that we can look at to understand how change can happen and how your norm can become a new reality and you no longer have to use the word normal. The first thing is this, is that we need to believe the promise of change. Believe the promise of change. You know, the Bible gives us a specific promise. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, and the writer puts it this way. God says these words, "I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn hearts and give them a tender, responsive heart so that they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be, God says, my people, and I will be their God." Now, this promise of change is something that we talked about extensively last Sunday, Easter Resurrection Day. We celebrated this idea, this understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, and Jesus' sacrifice frees us so that His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, can deploy us. Now you may be asking the question, how do I accept Jesus? Well, let me just give you some insight into this. We learn from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, Paul would write these words. He would say, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved." In the very next verse, he says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved." I'd like for you to think about these three things, especially in understanding what does it look like to have change happen in your life. It begins with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, how do we do that based upon the verses that we just read? Well, the first thing is simply this. We openly declare that Jesus is Lord. You know, there are a lot of things that lead our lives. There are a lot of people that lead us. But for us to come to a realization that Jesus is number one, that Jesus, you're taking the position of authority in my life, is the first step for us understanding this. Number two, he says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This is a pretty big step for a lot of us. If you look at last week's message, and I would encourage you to go back to the Easter message that we talked about last week, because in it I gave a pretty decisive understanding historically of how we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was real, that he was a real character, a real person who lived on this earth, transformed this earth, and died. And not only did he die, but the real facts behind his resurrection. You see, this believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead is an incredible thing to do. And so openly declaring Jesus, believing in your heart. And then the third thing is simply this, confessing our sins to Jesus so that he can forgive them. The writer John would put it this way, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Paul would describe it this way of what that looks like in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He'd say, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become, listen to this, a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This is how we believe the promise of change, is that we let Jesus in. My encouragement to you is that maybe today, for the first time, you would take this opportunity to let Jesus into your heart, to believe, to confess, and to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Once we begin with this understanding, then the second thing that many of us struggle with is beyond the belief piece is to receive it, to receive the power of change. Do you know that if you've said yes to Jesus, then you've had the privilege of receiving the power of change? I know people who've said yes to Christ, and yet they've never really received the power of change in them. Why haven't they received it? Because of the struggles in their life. Three things behind this. The first one is this, is that God's love overcomes our internal impulses. You ever thought about it that way? If you have a significant other, you know that oftentimes there are ways that you change your life so that you can align with their life. Why? Because you would say you love them. Let me give you an example of this. Before I met my wife, I had an incredible repertoire of a large range of the types of food that I would eat. I would go all the way from the East and eat New York-style pizza to the far West with Western barbecue. And then God brought into my life this incredible woman who was a registered dietitian. And the next thing I know, because of my love for her, I'm now not eating as much pizza and barbecue, meat and potatoes. I learned that there was two other food groups that I didn't know existed, vegetables and fruits. Do you ever notice how love alters our interests? The second idea of receiving the power of change is that our Christian culture, our Christian community overcomes our culture. That you and I are better together. I like to put it this way. What you're doing right now and the things that you're listening to in this moment is great for inspiration. And Christians love to gather in places like churches, and they love to sit down in audiences because they love to be inspired. But the idea is this, that crowds are great for inspiration, but groups are best for transformation. The reason that many of us do not receive the power of change is that we struggle with God's love overcoming our internal impulses, but because of the fact we do not jump into Christian community. Do you realize that if you are a part of a group, if you're a part of a group of individuals and you claim them as your friends and they're a Christian community, they can help you to overcome the culture. Why? Why is this idea of transformation so great? Because in groups, we talk personally. While in this moment, I'm speaking to you through a screen. But in a group, you're talking personally to someone else, and they're talking personally back to you. And you and I find accountability, and we can take the Bible and apply it practically in that moment. I love being in a group with friends, and in the course of a Bible study, one of them brings out a piece of the Bible and says, "This is what's impacting me in this moment. It is transformative for them." I want to give you a live illustration of how Christian community overcomes our culture of something that happened recently right here in Howard County in Kokomo, Indiana. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine by the name of Dave Mobley. Let's hear his story.
Hello, my name is David Mobley. I would like to talk to you about change. On March 22nd, I got a call from my mom that they had taken my dad to the hospital. Within an hour at home, he had gone from walking around the house, drinking a cup of coffee, to literally not being able to stand up on his own. He had no power. They gave him the test for the coronavirus at that time, but had no thought that that was the case. So finally on Saturday of that same week, we all got a text from my mom that the test had came back confirmed, and Dad did have the virus. And we learned that there were a lot of ups and downs. Our doctor thought many times that Dad had the virus, didn't know, and we actually thought he was on the backside of it. We thought he was going to come out of it. April 1st, 4 a.m. in the morning, my phone rang. And everybody knows when they get a call that early in the morning, it's normally not good. My mother, who was broke, told me that my father didn't make it through the night. As much as you can prepare yourself for those words, it's very hard to hear. Due to the virus and to the amount of people that you could have at a gathering, we were told that obviously there would be no viewing. We were only going to be allowed to have graveside rites. We weren't allowed to have more than 10 people at the casket, and everybody needed to be spread out. In this time of our change, we all have to do things that are different, things that we don't like. And this is going to be my family's change. When we came back home to Kokomo a few days later, one of my great friends that actually attends Crossroads texted me one night and said, "Are you going to be home tomorrow in the afternoon?" And I said, "I can be." And he gave me a time. So I got a hold of my wife, Pam, and we went to the end of the driveway. And we could see some cars coming into our neighborhood. And we recognized a few of them. And we thought, this is going to be cool. They're going to do a drive-by or something, or they're going to honk at us, or they're going to, you know, whatever. Little did we know, that little drive-by started with a police escort and had a total of 62 cars full of our friends and family and church. But they were showing us the love that we kind of didn't get during the funeral. It was awesome. Very, very humbling. And it's something that I will never forget.
For so many of us, we've accepted the power of change, but we've never received the power of change. And what you see is that God's love overcomes our internal impulses. And what you just experienced through Dave Mobley and his story is that our Christian community can overcome the culture around us. You know, the third piece of this understanding of recognizing that we receive the power to change is that God's Spirit in us overcomes the demons that are against us. Anyone that's a Christian knows that there's this internal, constant struggle of good and evil that happens. That there's something that goes on inside of you and inside of me that just constantly is pulling us away from God. And we know that Satan and his adversaries, his folks, oftentimes tend to pull us away from who we are as a Christian, from the change that we want to happen. But what we have to understand is that the Spirit of God that's in us is greater than the demons that are against us. John would put it this way in John chapter 4, verse 4, these words, "But you belong to God." If you've received Him, you belong to God. If you've accepted Him, you belong to God. You've already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. And so for many of us, we're at this final stage of understanding change in our life. And that is simply, number three, to accept the challenge to change. You know, you've been at the point in your life and you've already stepped forward and you believe the promise of change and have said yes to Jesus. You've received the power of change, but for most of us, because we're so stuck in normal, we've never accepted the challenge to change. And I want to ask an important question. So how do I change? If the realities are there, and I've said yes to Jesus, and I see these things going on around me, how do I change? I want to go back to the original verse that I started with in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and you can see and understand what Paul is writing, because there are two components to this for every one of us to understand. The first thing, here's what he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know. Learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let me give you two big words to change, and I want you to listen carefully as we land the plane today in understanding how to accept the challenge to change in your life. The first word is conformity, to conform. He says these words, copy the behavior and customs of this world. You know, the original language for the Bible in the New Testament was written in the classical Greek language. And the word that's used here for conform, the word that's used for copy the behavior and customs of this world, is the same word that you and I get, and I'm going to show you an image here, for the word schematic. This is a drawing schematic. Those, most of us have heard of electrical schematics. But this is a drawing of our North Campus that we're in the process of getting ready for us to be able to launch in downtown Kokomo, Indiana in the coming months. And this idea of conformity is really this thing, the schematic, that there is this culture around us, a cultural schematic, if you will, that it's everywhere. This conformity that I have to look like this, I have to be like this, I have to do these things, I have to do those things. This conformity is there for all of us. I mean, you think about it, our cultural schematics are pretty simple. I mean, there's materialism, I need to have these things to look this way. There's entertainment, I need to be this person, or I want to emulate this person or look like this person. There's individualism. I want what I want, and I want it for me. And then in our culture, we love sexuality. We raise it to a level beyond anything we could imagine. And these values, if you will, are in the air, so to speak. And the reason that so many of us conform to the behaviors and the customs of this world, the reason so many of us struggle with the changes in our lives, is because we've been too busy conforming. So how do I counteract this idea of conforming? Well, the Bible gives us, or God gives us, really four different ways that we can do, four things that you and I can do to counteract how we can conform against culture. The first one is Scripture. God's Word is filled with opportunities. I would encourage you that in this season that you might download the YouVersion app. It's a free app, and it's filled with free studies and Bible studies to give you some insight and some impact. You can literally put in a thing that you're struggling with in this moment through the culture that's around you. You can punch that in, and it'll give you a Bible study that you can do daily to be able to help out. I would encourage you to take the opportunity to open up your Bible and read Scripture, because it will help you. There's a second thing that helps us, and that's music. Well, listening to worship music like we just heard a little bit ago, the worship music that we've had the privilege to hear every week, if you've been joining us online or when you hear it live, or you get the privilege of hearing worship music in styles that you enjoy or love, it's a great way to counteract the culture that's around us. A third way to counteract the culture so that you're not conforming is through serving. You know, COVID-19, while it's made us quarantine, has helped us as a church to be able to serve the people inside of our community. You can go to our website and you will see that in the front of our website is a place that says give help, get help. And the purpose behind the give help and get help is that for some of you, you need to be willing to give help. This gives you a chance to be able to serve. You can put on some gloves and a mask and you can deliver food to someone in our community that's in great need. Maybe for you, you're a person who's among the group of individuals in our church that are making masks for people inside of our community that are helping out. Maybe for you in this season, you're among individuals who are writing letters for the loneliest of people in hospitals who can't have their family, their friends, or even their pastors around them or small group leaders to help them in this season. Serving someone else is an incredible opportunity. It's an incredible benefit for you in the course of this time. Whether it's making a meal for the elderly neighbor that's beside you, or whether it's working across the way to help other folks, serving others is a great way to counteract conformity, because in an individualistic culture, we're all about us, and it lays me aside for a moment to be able to help someone else. You know, the fourth thing that we do in this is to have fellowship, to hang out with other Christians. Now, I understand that in this moment, many of us would say, well, don't you can't get together with other folks? I mean, we're saying that any groups over 10 and social distancing and understanding. One of the things that I've loved about this season has been the opportunity to be able to get on things like Google Meet or Zoom calls, to be able to use things like Skype or FaceTime, and to be able to connect with individuals and other Christians in ways that I've never been able to connect before. That I don't have to get into my car and drive over to somebody's house, but I can do this via a phone that's right in front of me or via a computer screen. I'm able to connect with individuals, and these four things counteract the conformity that's happening in our culture. You see, that's one major word that Paul uses in this verse is conform. But the second word that he uses is this, transformed. Go ahead and just say it out loud right now, transformed. There's something about that word that we love. And I think one of the reasons that we love that word so much is that it comes from that classical Greek word where you and I get the English word metamorphosis, where an egg turns into a larva and eventually becomes a butterfly. You see, this transformation that happens, and for you to understand that in order for transformation to happen, it requires non-conformity. To change your life, for many of us, requires us to change our environment. I know that there was a time in my life when I looked too much like the world, and I didn't want to look like the world. And I knew that in order for me to make these major changes in the course of my life, that there was some kind of transformation that had to take place. And that transformation was recognizing that for me, I needed to change the environment that I was a part of, the people that I hung out with, the things that I watched on television or on my phone, the things that I was participating in, the conversations that I was having, the things that I was thinking about whenever I had opportunities to think by myself. You see, for many of us, those thoughts turn us into greed. How can I make more? In other cases, they turn us into sexual beings where we think about fantasies outside the norms of what God created sexuality to be. You see, this transformation requires nonconformity for us. I hate to say this, but as we conclude today, we need to come to the realization that life isn't going back to normal. That for you, when the day comes that you're able to get out of your house or able to return to a job, that even then you'll look around and things won't be the same. People may not want to have a shake of hands like they did before, or high fives. People are going to seem a little more standoffish than they used to be. The clerk behind the counter where you used to have conversations checking out your groceries now has a nice plexiglass wall between you and them. And this understanding of social distancing is something that for many of us is transforming everything in our world. Life isn't going to go back to normal. And so the question that I want to ask is, are you willing to allow Christ to change you into a new reality? Maybe for us, that's the term, a new reality. Allow Jesus to do that today. Can I pray for you? Jesus, I know that change is so hard. God, I know that I've been told by people that I love and respect that people don't change. And Lord, I've been in ministry, and I've watched hundreds upon hundreds of people because of you, Jesus Christ, that have changed the very existence of who they were. God, I've watched people who've stepped away from a life that was controlling them because of addiction to today living lives that are focused on you. God, I've watched people who thought only of themselves be generous and willing to step beyond the bounds of giving that most of us wouldn't understand so that they can make a difference in the community that they're a part of. God, I've watched people who would say, I have no time to donating amounts of hours that total in the hundreds of hours to serve and encourage other people through serving. God, I've seen individuals who spent so much of their time in their cars listening to music that pulled them deeper into a culture of conformity and then one day change everything about the music they listened to and lead them now into a culture of transformation in front of their very eyes. And so Jesus, help us to remember that life isn't going back to normal. And I pray that you would change us to the core to a new reality today. We pray this, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. Amen.